Look at Revelation chapter 9. In the scriptures, Revelation chapter 9. And we'll be reading the entire chapter. Again, here we have had the first four trumpets. And then right after that, we see the fifth and the sixth trumpet. And this is kind of the pattern throughout Revelation. The fifth and sixth portion are usually longer and more described and usually worse or emphasized greater or increased in some way. And then there'll be in kind of like an intermission, and then we'll see the seventh trumpet in chapter 11. And here, Revelation chapter 9, this is God's word. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth. And power was given them, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. The appearance of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle, and on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold. And their faces were like the faces of men, and they had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to battle. They have tails like scorpions and stings, and in their tails is the power to hurt men for 5 months. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon. And in the Greek, he has the name of Apollyon. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. One saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and a day and month and year were released, so that they would kill a third of mankind. A number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw the vision of the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and of hyacinth and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone, which proceeded out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. The rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. And that is God's word. So with the fifth trumpet sounding, verse 1 pictures what Luke, the Gospel of Luke, referred to as Satan. Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. That is the devil's present condition, that he has fallen. He's rebelled against the Lord and lost his holiness, his position, his splendor. And here John sees him receive the key of the bottomless pit. Satan receives power from the Lord to open the abyss and let those other fallen angels, we might say, or the demons out. And this abyss indicates hell before the final judgment, or in our current day. After the final judgment, it will be called the lake of fire. And Satan holds the key. God, Jesus, is still enthroned, and he's still sovereign over him, for the Lord, it says, gave him the key. This is the Lord's permissive decree. It's his will. This is still one of the trumpets still in God's control. And yet it's Satan who is still responsible for these actions. God uses the work of the devil as a punishment and as a warning to the wicked that they may repent, which we see in verses, is the intent of the judgments in verses 20 and 21. And so as he used the devil with Job to bring about things for him and good things for him, the devil is used here as a punishment and warning to the wicked that they would repent. Satan holds the key, and thus Satan entices evil, filling the world with these demons, these wicked influences and operations. The bottomless pit spews forth this dirty smoke, which is the smoke of deception and delusion, of sin and sorrow, and of moral darkness and degradation. And out of the smoke come locusts descending on the earth. It's a locust plague. We've seen locust plagues in other parts of Scripture, in Exodus, and the plagues of Egypt, and the prophet Joel. Terrible destruction they bring, and ruin and desolation. And it's under the symbolism of the locust plague that we see describe the powers and influence of hell operating in the hearts and lives of wicked men. These locusts do not destroy vegetation, they rather harm the men who have not the seals on their foreheads. So we see parallels throughout the book of Revelation. We've already talked about the seal on the foreheads, which are given to God's people. And so here's the locust harming, or the picture of locust harming wicked men, wicked people. They strike terror into the hearts of these men, these wicked people, and fill their souls with the worst conceivable dread and utter hopelessness so that they would seek death, but cannot find it. That's the worst there can be. Their king is in two languages, the destroyer, the angel of the abyss. That is Satan. And you are to hear the warning from God. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. And he gives very immediately the first of those next two woes, the sixth trumpet. And we see a description of all the wars of all times. And yet the description leads many to believe that these wars are described, are particularly seemingly towards the end or near the end before Christ returns. War was shown under the fourth seal. There's mentioned there the trials and tribulations for believers, but here is the focus entirely on the wicked. In verse 13, the prayers of the saints from the golden altar, because Christ is interceding, are being heard. They're answered in this trumpet. Four angels are released. In verse 14, they are evil angels. They're not the angels who are with God, but they're evil angels, which relish the idea of plunging mankind into war. Yet they can't do anything unless God permits. But we must remember verses 20 and 21. The Lord is doing this for a purpose, that the wicked would repent of their sin and turn to him. And same thing we see in the prophets. He's doing all these judgments that the wicked would repent, that his people, as the physical nation of Israel, would repent of their sin and turn to him. And here it's the same. And so war also is included in God's decree unto salvation. So the meaning of these two trumpets is clear. It's by God's decree, and the Lord Jesus, who rules over all, will again and again punish the persecutors of the church by inflicting upon them disasters in every sphere of life, physical and spiritual. The blood of the saints is precious, and their prayers are heard. And so again, are you praying? Their prayers are heard, but mankind in general does not repent. Foolish and stubborn men continue to transgress the first table of the law, verse 20, and the second table of the law, verse 21. And it is this impenitence that brings about not only the outpouring of the bowls of final wrath, chapters 15 and 16, but also the culmination of this wrath and the final judgment. Delay is now no longer possible for the wicked. Let's pray. Our Father, we do pray for those wicked. Here we see that none repent of their sin, even with these warnings. Father, we ask that you would bring some of these wicked to yourself, even today. Father, we ask that those who are persecuting the church, those who are rebelling against you and who are your enemies, and therefore our enemies, Father, we ask that you would send the Holy Spirit to them, that they would believe the gospel and be saved, that they would not have to endure these judgments. And Father, we ask that you would, we know this book is not focused on the wicked and on the judgment of them so much, but as Christ on the throne. So Lord, as we continue in this world, we pray that you would remind us again and again that you are on the throne. That even with the election on Tuesday, you are on the throne. And you ordain the people that will be in office after that day. And Lord, we ask that you would heal our land. And to do so, we must come to you and pray, as your word says, that we must pray that you would forgive us of our sin and cause us to turn from our wicked ways. And hearing our prayers, you promise that you will heal our land. And yet it seems that maybe that's not your purpose in this time for our nation. And so, Father, I pray that you would uphold us and strengthen us. I ask that you would watch over us, care for us, keep our souls from this time forth and forevermore. Father, we ask that you would be with this congregation, that you would preserve it, that you would not snuff out our lampstand, that you would provide godly men who would be from our children, who would grow, and you would make into godly men and elders and deacons, missionaries, pastors, and all sorts of godly men and husbands who lead their homes. And Father, we pray for even the daughters and the women of our congregation, that you would raise them up to be godly women who love the truth, who love their husbands, but love you more, and that they would serve you in all things, just as Christ served us. Father, we pray that you would provide elders and deacons for this congregation. We ask that you would raise up men now for that purpose, if it be your will. And Lord, we pray in faith that you will do so, because we know you're God and you answer our prayers. Just as you answer the prayers here of the saints in bringing about justice to the wicked, that you're doing that now. Lord, we know that we deserve so much worse than what we receive, and that is your mercy, and we praise you that you've granted us by your favor salvation, and that you've given us each other and all the things that we have and all the things, not just physical but spiritual, that we have been granted by you. Lord, we deserve none of it, but we deserve to be the people here and under the sixth judgment, the sixth trumpet, and even the fifth, who long for death and yet cannot receive it, who deserve to die, and even when we see others wicked perish, that we deserve not to heed your warnings, but to fall. And that's what we deserve, and yet you have given us so much more and so much better, infinitely greater, an infinite blessing rather than the wrath of God. And we praise you for that. And so we pray that you would be glorified in all things, because we don't pray on our own accord or our own behalf, but we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.